Now we switch our attention from Boise to Olympia and the Washington legislature. Much of the focus in Olympia is on K-12 education and satisfying a state Supreme Court mandate that Washington spend more money on public schools that would take some of the burden for funding schools away from local property taxes. But marijuana's been on the agenda, too. The state is still making adjustments to the system for regulating and taxing it. We'll talk about that later with the head of the state's Liquor and Cannabis Board. About 30 marijuana-related bills were introduced in the legislature this year. Only about a handful are still active. For example, one bill approved by a House committee on Tuesday would require school districts to allow children who qualify to use medical marijuana to ingest it on school property. State law already allows districts the option to let students take marijuana medication in their buildings or on their buses. The state says several dozen children are registered as cannabis patients. Medical marijuana consultant Sarah Razor testified at a hearing that many more parents would sign up their children if they could.
There's a silent demographic that's being kind of missed right now, not just the 57 children that are already registered as cannabis patients that really deserve this mainstream schooling, but all of the parents that are scared to register because of complications possibly with CPS or with other government, with other legislation that might provide criminal penalties for what they're doing. And I think it's really important to protect parents that are trying to not only save their children, but give them an education so that they can combat the world later.
That bill has already passed the Senate and has cleared its first hurdle in the House. Many of the marijuana bills originate in the House Commerce and Gaming Committee, which is chaired by Pierce County Democratic Representative David Sawyer. And so what kinds of bills have run across your committee this year?
All kinds from, City of Seattle is looking at allowing the ability for local governments to opt into a marijuana delivery system. We've had bills allowing the Department of Agriculture to come up with a definition of what organic would mean in the industry and to let people market based on having a cleaner product than others. We have sanitation-based products. You know, when you're making a marijuana brownie or whatever you're making, we want to make sure that the Department of Agriculture is inspecting it just like any other processed foods. So it's a lot of consumer protection bills.
I remember one bill in particular. I was watching the hearing. You and Representative Condotta, I think, sponsored the bill that essentially tries to get the municipalities that haven't taken a position for or against marijuana, that are kind of either sitting on the fence or just would rather stick their heads in the sand, from dealing with it. How did that bill do? Do you remember that one?
We didn't move it out of appropriations in the House. That was directed mainly at a local government that I have in my district. There's only one jurisdiction that I'm aware of that is doing that behavior, which is basically choosing federal law and ignoring state law and saying that we're not going to do anything the state says because the federal law preempts. But I think that local government is starting to move forward on a broader policy, so we didn't move the bill forward because I think they're acting in good faith. But generally speaking, we are looking at bans and moratoriums pretty seriously. We've tried to give local governments a lot of financial incentive to join in and make sure that we have access legally throughout the state. And I have not found that giving local governments any more money has been helpful because we have still a lot of areas that don't have access to legal and safe product.
Are there still areas that you want to see legislation move through in areas that are pretty necessary, you think, with relations to marijuana?
I have some mixed feelings, but we have a very big bill that we are moving. We would call it kind of an omnibus bill that has really good policy around. We talked a little bit about the sharing of marijuana, but the Senate was particularly concerned about the advertising. They wanted to codify some restraints we have about advertising with children, people spinning signs or using mascots or using a marijuana leaf on billboards. They wanted to put some restrictions so that it wasn't in the face of kids throughout the state. So we have that. The parts that are necessary is, for me, I'm looking at protecting the revenue and protecting what the voters voted for. I think if I were going to pass, the thing that's probably the most important are the laws that have something to do with the Cole memo, and I think protecting access from kids, and I think protecting the out-of-state transfer. So I think in Spokane, you have a business that's advertising in Coeur d'Alene. Colorado has a total ban on out-of-state advertising, so I think we should probably put a lockdown on that because we don't want, like they have in Colorado, the states that aren't legal suing the states that are claiming that the product is coming across the border. So we have some things to do to make sure that we're living up to the spirit of the Cole memo and making sure that this is a Washington product that is consumed only in Washington, because it's you know, it's kind of a scary time right now with the federal government. We're trying to figure out what they could or may not do. We're making more money off of cannabis now than we are on hard alcohol. So it's a huge part of our budget.
That's Representative David Sawyer, who chairs the House Commerce and Gaming Committee. He referred to the uncertainty with the new Trump administration and whether it would allow Washington to continue allowing the use of marijuana, even though it's against federal law. We asked Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson about that during his visit to Spokane last Friday. He said if the federal government says no to the recreational use of marijuana, he'll fight back.
We defend and enforce state law. So the voters approved marijuana legalization, as you know, in 2012. We are defending and enforcing that. And that includes making clear to the federal government that if they, the federal government, try to stop Washington State from moving forward, that I'll resist that. And I'll resist that in the courts if necessary. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I've sent a letter to the Attorney General Sessions, requesting a meeting to talk about the issue of marijuana legalization. And the governor has joined me in that letter. And it's our goal is to have that conversation and persuade them to let Washington do what it wants to do.
He says there had been no answer to his letter as of last Friday. And now for more on the growth of the marijuana industry, we're joined by Rick Garza, who is the director of Washington's Liquor and Cannabis Board. I asked him about the public's perception of marijuana.
Well, I think it depends on where you stand. And for our state, remember in 2012, the voters were split. 55% voted in favor, 45% opposed the initiative. It'd be interesting to see what the perception is today. You know, I can tell you that we get a lot of complaints with respect to the advertising that's out there. Having been in Spokane recently, there's a number of billboards, large billboards, that advertise cannabis, and we get a lot of complaints from the public about that. Yet at the same time, it's a legal product now. So there are advertising restrictions with respect to billboards being near 1,000 feet from entities where children are present. That's the restrictions that we have for advertising. But if you're not within 1,000 feet of a school or a park or a library and there are four other entities, then it is a legal product.
So as the state builds this this industry and this marijuana infrastructure, what parts are done and what's still on the to-do list?
Well, we still have some producer-processor licenses that we're processing, and we still have, I think we're getting close to 500 retail locations statewide. And if you recall, in our rules, the board has allowed for 556 statewide. But the problem we have, some cities and counties, a lot of them in eastern Washington, have chosen to create bans or moratorias, and so we provided locations for those cities and counties that have established bans or moratoria. So we'll have to see in the future. The city of Yakima, for example, last year lifted its moratoria or ban and now allows retailers in the city. So I don't know that we're ever going to get to the 556 that's allowed statewide, but as you can see, we're getting pretty close.
As you watch the legislature, I note that there are about 30 or so bills. What sorts of categories do those bills seem to fall into?
Well, you know, we regulate alcohol, too. And if you look at, you know, it's just interesting because I was looking at it before your call. There were 33 alcohol bills that have been introduced and 17 are still alive. There are just over 30 bills introduced in cannabis and seven that are moving. So it's not uncommon to see a lot of bills introduced. We've seen that since legalization of cannabis. There was bills from the city of Seattle to allow public cafes and to allow delivery of cannabis the last couple years, and those have not moved forward. But like any industry that's growing, you're going to have the cannabis industry coming forward to suggest changes. We introduced a bill, for example, that would allow us to update our traceability system. We have a seed-to-sale program that all three tiers, producer, processors, and retailers, have to be hooked into, and we need to update that. So we've got a bill that's moving through the legislature. The board, by rule, imposed a limitation of 3 retail locations per entity or company or LLC. There's a bill that's moving through the legislature that's alive that would allow you to go from 3 to 5 retail locations, for example. So you have different needs out there for the industry as far as changes. And that's really common to what we see in the alcohol industry over the last 80 years. So while there's lots of bills, you see the legislative process working through those bills, and as typically, you're not going to see all of them pass.
And there's still the questions about research and what research can be carried out. There's still questions, I think, in the public about can I drive after I've smoked, or you know, where can I smoke? And you alluded to the idea of lounges or something like that.
Correct.
Then let's throw in the added uncertainty of what the federal government's view on this is. Tell me a little bit about where you are with that.
So remember, the infrastructure or the regulations are built to adhere to what's called the Cole Memorandum. And so in August of 2013, 9 months after legalization, we had queried the federal government, the Department of Justice, both Colorado and Washington, asking, so what is going to be the position of the federal government with respect to us opening? We were just about to open up the system for licensure. And remember that the Cole Memorandum had 8 enforcement priorities or guidelines that were given to Washington and Colorado that needed to be followed if we were going to move forward with legalization. And really, we built our regulations around that, because when you think about it, the only thing that could really shut the system down is if the federal government were to step in, or the Department of Justice step in and take action against the states. If you look at the 8 enforcement priorities, they really break down into 3 really important areas. One of them is, how are you going to keep it out of the hands of kids, or distribution to minors is the term in the Cole Memorandum. So as you know, for marijuana, you have to be 21 in order to purchase or consume. Just like alcohol, we do compliance checks for marijuana retailers, just like we do alcohol retailers. In fact, we go and do at least 3 visits per year for each cannabis retailer. The youth compliance rate right now is 92%, which is a little higher and about the same as our alcohol youth compliance rate. So obviously we're doing well and trying to make sure that we keep it out of the hands of kids. We have rules relating to edibles and infused products not being especially appealing to children. So packaging and labeling, nothing with bright colors. We were surprised to learn that lollipops, gummy bears, cotton candy was being sold in the black and gray market before legalization. Nothing with bright colors is allowed today. So we actually have a 4-person committee that approves all edibles and all infused products, not only the product itself, but the packaging and the labeling. So that's an effort for us when you talk about how we built the system to keep it out of the hands of kids. Number 2, to make sure that, as it says in the Cole Memorandum, gangs, cartels, criminals are not involved in the business. We vet all applicants. They have to go through a criminal background check, which is a fingerprint with the state patrol. And then we also have an agreement with the FBI. We do a nationwide criminal history. If you have history, a pattern of criminal history, you will not be able to hold a cannabis license. So that's a way of dealing with that part of the Cole Memorandum. And then the 3rd is diversion. How are you going to prove to us you're not going to divert product out of the state or invert illegal product into our legal system? And we have a traceability system. It's tracked, the security cameras that all licensees, whether you're a producer, processor, or retailer, have to hold. And so when we built the regulations around how this industry would operate, it was built to adhere to that Cole Memorandum.
Rick Garza is the director of Washington's Liquor and Cannabis Board. You're listening to the Inland Journal from Spokane Public Radio.